This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
We are very excited to announce that we have Thelma Plum in studio. She has just released her debut album, Better in Black, last week. She has been nominated for the Deadly Award. She has won Triple J's National Indigenous Music Award. She is amazing. Thank you for coming. Welcome, Thelma.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
You've got a lot to live up to.
Yeah,
now.
That was like a really great intro. I was like, yeah, I felt like we were at wrestling or something.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Now we're going to fight. No, we're not going to do that.
Oh my God, you'll win.
It is so exciting to have you here at Joy. Tell us about your last week. Your new album was released. What's it been like?
It's been a very big week. It feels a little bit surreal because it's just been so long since I've released music. So, you know, I have to kind of keep reminding myself that it's out there in the world.
Yeah. 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 See, I know for myself, I've been listening to a few of your songs that have been online for a while now, and to have this new selection of songs to be able to listen to and put in my playlist is very exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting.
There's so many nice feels from your music, I have to say. Like, I find your music so euphoric, has so many nice sort of rush moments, but at the same time, there's really meaningful content behind your music. I wanted to ask you, you know, obviously you've got meaningful lyrics, but is there also an intention to really lift people up? Because your music is... It makes you feel really good. It makes me feel good.
I'm glad. Yeah. I guess this record for me has been definitely a big theme is healing and, you know, self-love and self-care. And that was, you know, I hope that when people hear that, they kind of feel that. But I also think sometimes as much as like maybe the lyrical content of my songs is like kind of dark and I really enjoyed singing about my trauma and things like that. But I like to make it be sad. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of the artists coming through now, especially the younger ones, they've got more of a social conscience than they've really had before. Why do you think that's happening now?
I don't know. I feel like it's always the young people, though, that are, you know, leading the way of kind of, you know, I think we should always listen to young people. I think that they are the future. But, you know, I think, I'm not sure. I feel like I've kind of always had that because I've maybe been forced to have that. I am a political being just kind of by existing in this country. So I've not really ever had a choice. But yeah.
Okay.
And I think the song Better in Black, which, you know, we know now has, you know, deals with quite a big thing that happened on Instagram. Mm-hmm. We don't really need to necessarily go over that again, but there's so much triumph in that song. And again, it makes you feel good. Does it feel powerful to do that song now after sort of the pain that you went through?
Yeah,
all of that.
Yeah. For sure. At first, when I first started performing that song, it was a bit like, oh, I don't know if I can do this. Like, it feels like I'm kind of exposing myself, you know, a lot. But, you know, since this song, I think since releasing it and other people kind of, you know, seeing how other people feel about it and how they interpret it, it's like almost made it quite easy for me to like reclaim that and take that back. And so now it's like less, you know, sad for me when I perform it, and it's a bit more like...
Ooh, yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's all good.
Okay. It'll be recorded. We're not live. Okay. And you know what? I actually just want to say this, and I'm going to say it two ways.
Yeah.
Because I can say the clean version on air, but like, it's a good song.
Yeah.
Such a good song.
It is amazing.
So good.
Can you tell us a little bit about the film clip for Better in Black?
Yes. So I worked with the beautiful Claudia Dalymore for that, and she's just so wonderful. And this is the third clip that we've worked on together. And so I have a really good team around me of women and non-binary people. It's very important to me that my work kind of set reflects my life. And so I got to work with some really great people, and my sisters were in the film clip, which was pretty special. Mm-hmm. It was the first time that the three of us, so my two older sisters, there's a shot in the film clip where we're kind of like, they're protecting me, they're coming from behind, and they've got their arms around me. And that was really special because it was the first time we've ever been in a room together, all three of us.
Wow.
Yeah. So my sister, my oldest sister, Mikala, was adopted out when she was a baby, and I didn't know about her until I was a teenager. So,
Speaking of, working with people. I'm going on your Wikipedia right now.
Yeah. Oh my God, how funny.
And have you been on your Wikipedia recently?
Okay. My Wikipedia is like it can be edited by anyone
and everyone.
But I can't be, because I'm like trying to edit that stuff because I'm like, this is not true.
You can't even edit it.
No, I don't know. And I've been trying to I've been like to my label, please, can you have someone edit this so it's correct information?
Yeah.
But
here we go.
We've got associated acts here and you're going to know where I'm going with this, but we've got Gang of Youths. Have you worked with Gang of Youths?
I have. I worked with Dave LaPepe, who's the singer of Gang of Youths, yes.
Paul Kelly, which I do want to ask you about if we get time, but Paul McCartney, you can now say,
oh my God, I love that they're associated. Like, that's
your associated
act. Okay, well, that I'm not going to get them to change.
So just for people that might not know it, he is playing on your record.
Yes.
Please tell people how that came about, because it's such a great story.
Yeah, okay, wild. So I was in New York City recording with my producer, David Kahn, who's an amazing man, and I'd finished tracking the vocals for the last song on my album, which is called Made For You, which I also happened to write with Paul Kelly.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, it's pretty wild. Yeah. I just got all the Pauls. And anyway, so I'd finished recording it. I went over to the other side of town and Paul McCartney came in to the studio, as he did, because my producer, David Kahn, and him worked together quite closely in New York City, which again is also wild. And he heard them playing the song and he asked David, you know, who's this singing? And David said, this is Thelma. She's an Aboriginal woman from Australia and she wrote this song with Paul Kelly, and he said he liked it and he was like, do you mind if I lay something down, like a guitar part?
Wow.
And David was like, I don't think Thelma will mind. Which,
not
you know,
at all.
Yeah, when I found out, I was like, how dare he? you know, which I definitely wasn't. I did not mind. So that happened. Pretty amazing. It's pretty special and the guitar part's beautiful.
It's super cool. Also, just quickly as well, you've worked with Paul Kelly on this album, which is amazing. Aussie hashtag ledge.
Yep.
But I love the story. You accidentally, way to the recording session with him, you accidentally texted, you thought you were texting your friend, but you texted him saying you're going to throw up.
Yeah.
So, oh no.
Yeah. It was literally the worst thing that's ever happened in my life. So my girlfriend dropped me off and I was really nervous and I texted her and was like, well, I didn't text her, turns out. But I went to text her and I was like, OMFG. I just felt like I was also like, oh God, you're so young, Thelma, with your abbreviations and your internet talk. But I was like, OMFG, I'm going to omit, and I meant to write vomit. So just everything was bad, and I knock on his door and he's like, answers, and he's like, oh, you just texted me. And he's like, oh, are you feeling okay?
Oh, no.
And I was like, what? I'm fine. You know, and then he's like reading it out and I was like, no.
I would love to hear him say OMG though.
Yeah, literally reading it out loud. OMFG too.
All right, nice.
And he's like, I'm gonna omit. I'm like, oh no. And then I just vomited all over him at that moment. No, I didn't. But I felt like it. It was very, he saw the funny side in it, thankfully.
Well, he's amazing.
Because you are usually quite eloquent and expressive. Like, so many of your songs obviously have some meaning behind them. So with your personal songs, is it easier or harder to write those types of songs?
You do know what? It's like, it's easier to write them, I reckon, because I find it quite therapeutic and quite like an enjoyable process, being able to, you know, write down on paper and articulate my feelings and then kind of pull them all apart. But it's also, in saying that, it then can be like a lot more difficult to share those songs with people.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a couple of songs on my record that, you know, whether they're about my family or about growing up or about lovers, and, you know, it can be very scary sharing that with the world.
Your song, Not Angry Anymore, one of my favourites.
Oh, that's a good song. And I'm honestly not sucking up your ass. It's such a good song.
Oh my God. Thank you very much. Such I tried very hard.
It seems really uplifting, but it's coming from a place of anger, and you're obviously saying you're not angry anymore. Would that be a song that is difficult for you to sing?
Yeah, it was almost like when I wrote that song, I was still quite angry, and it was just like letting this big release of just being like, I just got to a point where I was just so tired of being so angry at people, and, you know, for a long time I didn't really know where to place that anger, so I would put that on myself, and you know, it was just very unhealthy, and pretty much I had to kind of make a decision. I think anger is very valid and very important, but I had to kind of make a decision where I was like, I can't really keep living like this. It's not very good for me.
And, yeah.
So singing it now, again, it's like that Better in Black. Now I'm a bit like, I'm not angry. Like, what of it?
You Yeah.
But at first it definitely wasn't like that. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And I feel like me and Gabe are doing the light and shade here. You've got a song in the album called Nick Cave.
Mm-hmm.
Huge fan of Nick Cave myself.
Me
Love
too.
Him. The song you talk about sort of idolizing him and all of that, it reminded me of being a teenager and loving Madonna, and she had her Kabbalah it. Jewish phase, and I remember going to Spotlight and getting like the red string but wholesale and tying around my wrist.
Oh my God.
Because I was so obsessed with her. Can you tell us a little bit about idolizing Nick Cave and some of the things he did?
Cultural appropriation, perhaps.
Oh my God, that is so funny. You're like, uh-oh.
Did he actually come, because in the song you say he came to one of your shows.
Yeah.
Did he come to one of your shows?
No, so it's not about Nick Cave, which is so funny, because sometimes when I tell this story, I'm like, yeah, it was about Nick Cave. No, it wasn't. Because,
you know, sorry to jump in for a sec, I think there'd be a lot of gay boys out there that'd want to be the Kylie to Nick Cave, obviously where the wild roses grow.
For sure. And like, you know, who wouldn't?
Or yourself, maybe.
I definitely, yes, I relate to that also. So that song, I kind of wrote it about this boy. It was kind of about a few different people, but at the time, this boy that was obsessed with Nick Cave, and I guess he introduced me to Nick Cave, and so it's not actually about Nick Cave. Nick Cave did not come to my show, and
shame.
Yeah, we were not. I didn't have a crush on Nick. Well, you know.
I think it was kind of sexy.
Yeah.
In a sort of murderer kind of way.
Oh, my God. Lord, help me.
Is that wrong to say? Right? Yeah, well, we won't go there. Listen, I don't think ARIA noms have been announced yet, have they? God.
No.
But I think you're going to be the one to watch.
Absolutely.
And I don't know. Maybe I'm trying to be Molly Meldrum here or something. I think you're going to win really big this year.
Yeah.
And the album is amazing. You've got a tour coming up. You're also doing Splendor in the Grass.
Yes.
Really exciting.
In the Grass. So excited. It's, you know, biggest show of life ever. I've always wanted to be on a stage at Splendor in the Grass. So
brilliant. Just one last question before we let you go.
Yes.
Who is on your rotation? Who should we be looking out for?
Oh, okay. Do you know who it is? I'm worried I'm not pronouncing her name correctly, but Maisha.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got this song called Black Privilege. And so she's just kind of been, I just saw one of her songs online, and she's going to play some of my shows on the tour with me.
Amazing.
So that's good.
Great.
I have to just ask one more question. It'll be really short because you said who's the person to look out for. Since you're at Joy, Australia's first and only LGBT radio station, who's your diva?
Oh.
Who's your diva?
I'm my own diva. No, I'm not. I guess, shivers. Look, what about... I do a pretty good, like, Cher impression.
Yeah,
take
it.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, do you want to do it quickly?
No.
Literally being like, of course I do. I cannot do it. I'll do it after when we're offline.
Absolutely. Okay, great. Thank you so much for coming in. It's been an absolute honour for us to have you in studio. Good luck with the album, and we can't wait to see you again soon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Yay.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.